too many things to think about. Hello everybody, welcome to JJ's Album Club.
Hello, welcome to this.
It's our music review podcast where we review albums. I'm Joey, he's Jimmy, that's why it's JJ's Album Club.
Hello, I'm Jimmy Famarewa. Welcome to this extremely strange hostage situation. We're being extra weird because we're streaming this one live, aren't we, Joe?
On Twitch, yes. So
on Joe's Twitch channel, and I feel like I've been massively shanghaied into it, but I'm excited.
Normally this wouldn't feel any different because you'd be on Zoom, but it's the first time we've been in the same room.
It's the first time we've been in the same room.
And you've got two kids asleep upstairs, so it's literally like the worst conditions to do a podcast
in. I've got a cat clawing his way in. I'm feeling very strange about the whole thing. I just made Joe put some hand sanitizer on because I just felt really weird about everything. But I'm excited to dive into it. We've been doing this podcast for a little while. Joe, what is the podcast about?
As you said last week,
yes,
is the celebration of the album.
Yes. Two old friends gather to celebrate the album in all its glorious forms.
One's a comedian, one's a journalist, but which one's which? okay.
Let's just lean into the weirdness of this.
Well, shall I just say also, if you're not watching this on Twitch, in which case we'll keep mentioning it.
Yeah, that'd be really annoying.
Then
my biggest worry was that it'd be like when you listen to like a live podcast and they're like, oh, how's everybody doing? Great! They're like reacting to loads of stuff that means nothing to you.
Well, this is like
that. So I apologise.
But with no audience.
Jumper's coming off.
If you would like to join us live in the future, then I always on my Instagram say when it's going to be. When we're recording it, we're just putting it on a thing called Twitch, which is just a website if you don't know what it is. But otherwise, you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways.
A live streaming platform.
Mm.
Yeah.
But if you're not into that, you can get in touch in all the usual ways on Twitter.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
Yeah, all the channels.
Joey Page,
we'll never refer to it as our socials, but, you know, that's basically what it is.
I saved a file on my computer as socials to ban. I nearly killed myself.
No. Anyway, good night. That's good the night. End of the pod.
Forever.
Should we discuss some... So basically, the way that this podcast works is Joe and I discuss a selection of a handful of new albums.
Yeah.
And we Today kind of trade reactions and opinions on them. We do deep dives into them. We also interview... people of note about meaningful albums in their life. They kind of bring in an album and introduce us to it.
People of note is such a good way of saying it, depending on what level of celebrity we can get.
People of note could be anyone. Yeah. The one with my cat is going to be quite the episode. Yeah, people of note really covers you.
He like, Cat Stevens? Let's not get into this.
So yeah, but this week we're talking about a handful is putting it generously. We've got three albums that we're going to discuss.
We've started doing three now, haven't we? Can't be bothered to do four anymore.
Three. To be honest, we've also been hurt by everything, COVID.
Less stuff.
COVID has there's so many bad things about it, but it's really hurt
our podcast.
Our ability to podcast like a batch of new releases, like to really dig in. That is an enormous joke about the grave situation we're still in. How are we going to kick off?
Can I just say, normally we would find three things from the music news and then we'd use one of them as a barometer by which we mark our albums out of 10. So if Liam Gallagher's done something stupid, it would be out of 10 Liam Gallagher, whatever he's done.
Quite often Kanye, which I feel weird about now. Just seems we'll probably have to the old like Fawlty Towers episodes and things like that. We'll have to sort of retroactively delete any sort of and sensitive behaviour towards Kanye. But yeah, we normally have a scoring system that is decided from three choices of three items of music news. Why haven't we got one this week, Joe?
Because I've been too busy working on all this technology.
Yeah.
So we're just gonna do a good old fashioned stars out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Plus, we also want to talk about the. I wanted to call them the Perrineaux then. The Mercury nominees.
Hasn't existed, has it? The Rumbelows. We want to
the Rumbelows Cup.
We want to talk about the Rumbelows Cup. the Mercury shortlist. We should talk about that.
Yeah.
Should we do that first or should we do that?
Let's do that last. Yeah, let's crack into an album.
Okay, let's crack in. Crack in is now a phrase as of this moment. So we got three albums, Joe. I think we should start with Jarve Is.
Oh, boy.
Beyond the Pale. The new record from Jarvis Cocker's latest project. This is his debut album as Jarve Is.
Very much like how Liam Gallagher did a debut album where he brought an album out 40 years after he started doing music.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, to go back to your Perrier Award thing, it is like the old best newcomer going to somebody who's been doing it for ages. But anyway, that's beside the point. It's a new album. It's 7 tracks. It's experimental. The act started out as a live proposition. I think they were founded at the Sigur Rós's kind of home festival in Iceland. And they've evolved from that. It's about dialogue between the band and the crowd. And it's about all manner of other strange things.
It's called a live album.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's what they've called it.
I didn't know that.
Because it's not a live album, but it's not an actual album. It's an alive album.
They like slightly weak puns. We should get them on. Generally at this point we would play a track from the album before we really sort of dive into discussing our responses to it. Obviously we can't quite do that with the Twitch mechanic, but if we were going to, and for the sake of the pod recording, which track would you go for, Joe?
I would go for the house music All Night Long.
It's the only
it's
one,
the only,
really, isn't
it's
it?
The only
it's here we go. A little blast of house music All Night Long from Jarve Is.
Yeah, in a woodland glade, with the wind in your face, everybody in the place, listening to house music all night long. I was waiting for you. I was listening to house music all night.
And yeah, obviously, there we go.
If you want to hear that snippet, then you can listen to the actual podcast if you're watching.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If you just want to listen to the song, you can go to Spotify. I'm not saying how music works, the music distribution.
So come on then, Joe, what do you reckon?
I'm very confused by this. Are you not like?
Should we do some background? I didn't really go into it a little bit more, but yeah, I mean, we kind of have discussed it. It came out of a live show. It's clearly. I always find it slightly odd when musicians are like, "Oh no, it's not me," or like Julian Casablancas is like, "Oh yeah, it's like me," and like The Voids or whatever, and it's like, "It's you."
It's you.
It's like they kind of painting
a
fake moustache and like, "It's not me. This is a project with all my friends. We're all equal billing. This isn't a solo thing. This isn't about my ego. It's you, mate."
Yeah.
And I always feel like that kind of always slightly throws you off and doesn't particularly make me warm to a project. And I've got to say, the other kind of things about this, it's kind of inspired by kind of Neolithic art, and part of it was stemmed from a performance that was in some caves in Derbyshire and stuff like that. And there was a lot going on. I think part of it was even recorded in a cave. And there's a lot going on. Your
take struck me was what you touched on right at the beginning, sort of in jest, is that it feels like he's like a weird uncle that like smokes too much and like always like repeats the same tired old jokes. Like you feel like some of the lines are like jokes he's been waiting to say for years. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like going, oh, I dance the house music all night long and in the day too. And there's a few of them on there that made me just go, oh, yeah, come on. Yeah. That, and the mixture of it being completely preposterous and very pretentious.
Yeah. It's the first track. What's the first track? Not Save the Whale. No, it's the big single. It's Must I Evolve.
Yeah, Must I Evolve.
And there's like, it's a kind of, takes place at a kind of rave, and it's like, there's a line about a badger, isn't there? Like kind of
An occasional badger.
An occasional badger, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I guess your enjoyment of this album has a lot to do with how much you enjoy Jarvis Cocker as a sort of tweedy, bookish, Britpop survivor and art rock weirdo who, you know, it's just... And I really liked, like, Jarvis Cocker's solo albums when he wasn't kind of spelling his name differently and kind of with other collaborators are really great, and I was a huge fan of those. I think there's like an eponymous like debut album, Black Magic, I think.
That song's really great.
There's so many great songs on that. I feel like quite tellingly with this, it was a rare occasion where I was sent these days, you know, I do get sent albums now and again, but I got sent this ages ago, and I think maybe it was before it was delayed because of the COVID crisis, and I just did not listen to it. I listened to the first track and it just sat there, and I just kind of was like, I'm not really interested in that. But I have to say, Must I Evolve has grown on me. House Music All Night Long is a really good song. It's kind of fit to join the canon of really great Jarvis Cocker songs.
I'll tell you what else is good on that. I can't work out if it's... And this is... I feel like I can say this about all of them. I don't know if they're really good or really bad. Like, am I missing something? Can't work out if that's really good or really bad.
Which one's that? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then Swanky Nodes. Modes, sorry. Swanky Modes.
Yeah, they're very... Shot. I mean, it's only 7 minutes long. All the songs are kind of these long...
Do you mean seven songs long?
Seven songs
every song is seven minutes long.
That's what I meant. It's a difficult one to get to grips with in some ways, because there's like really interesting stuff, the kind of idea of it. But I think, and again, it goes back to what we were talking about, that kind of tricksiness of, oh, it's not really me, this is what we've been thinking about, and all this is about this, and this is kind of an 8-minute epic about cave paintings and rave culture, and this is like, it does just feel like quite a dense thesis.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to kind of chew through to get to the good stuff, really.
I think, because there's something I want to say broadly this week about some of the music. I find the music on this album, the actual music, very interesting.
Mm.
And so that's just something that is nothing to do with him almost, because he's just fronting it and he's got these incredible musicians around him.
I guess he's more than a lyricist, really, isn't he? He's kind of the orchestrator of it. But I know what you mean. I think when you think of Jarvis Cocker, you think of him as a front man and a performer and somebody who it's all about the lyrics and the wordplay and the sort of wry observations and the kind of, you know,
and there is some of them, but not
enough. There's a lot of that, but I guess if that doesn't work for you, then you could argue, you know, is there much value in it? It's difficult. I feel like I want to give this record a bit more time, but having said that, each time I stick it on,
I'm sort of it burns. I'm sort of waiting for like house music. I'm kind of just happy to just kind of take a couple of the tracks that I quite like off this and maybe not go back to the other things.
Yeah, like I always, when we come to review these things, I always think, am I going to listen to it again? Am I going to buy it? I'm not buying it.
Mm. Yeah.
But there's a couple of songs, and I think also he is so different, and that should almost be championed a little bit, but it's just not good enough for me.
Yeah.
It's too weird. Well, it is good, but it's weird. I can't get.
Mm.
I can see me doing a U-turn on this in a couple of months, but at the moment, I'm just like,
I think, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's an unusual thing. It's not just the sort of the slight kind of almost EP length of it and all the kind of ideas going on. It's quite a strange thing to get to grips with. And that does make me think maybe it's something that, you know, a few more listens will unlock a bit more interest. But yeah, Jarvis Cocker, another person that I've interviewed.
Oh yeah. How did that go?
It was all right actually. He kind of, and I mean this is tied into the fact that interviews quite often you're meeting someone but you're also kind of thinking about how easy they're making your job in terms of how much they're giving you, and if somebody's a bit evasive, which he kind of was,
then you just stick him in with the Heimdall.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, my kind of my textbook grievances. But he was fine, but he just kind of, I just got the sense that he would rather sort of, as you say, kind of make slightly lame jokes than kind of really dig in, and which I kind of respect in a way. But he was fine. He was kind of he was exactly what you want him to be in some ways. He was kind of, you know, unusual and talking about, it was for some obscure Radio 4 thing. So he's kind of, he is what he is, yeah. Isn't he? And I mean, we're talking ourselves and we're talking around in circles here, but basically, house music all night long, thank you. The rest of it, jury's still out, as far as I'm concerned.
So where are you going to go? I'm making you go first.
Yeah, no, I like it, enjoyed that.
Pass the buck.
Oh, God. I am going to... Do you know what? I think I like... This album's got fantastic reviews.
Yeah, that makes me angry in a way. Yeah. It's like, if I'm just getting on the gravy train a little bit, it's like... It's too pretentious.
I don't know. I think people are probably responding honestly, but I know what you mean. It's sometimes hard. Well, personally, I find it hard when something's been like really hailed and acclaimed, and if I'm struggling with it. I'm going to trust my gut a bit more on this one because I feel that I can't see it, what other people are seeing in this album generally beyond a couple of tracks. Mm. So I'm going to go six.
Six. Yeah, I think that's completely fair, and I'm going to copy entirely because I just don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, excellent work. Okay, let's keep going. There's stuff happening.
Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, okay.
It's my phone's too close to the thing.
Joe's phone's chirping. Is this like when people...
it's like when you've got your radio on in the background, I think. Yeah.
Can you just turn your radio down, Janet? We can hear you on the...
it's something that you've got to learn.
Can you... Okay.
I've put my phone in a plant. One. I don't know if that helps.
I was going to say, should we do Courtney Marie Andrews next?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Courtney Marie Andrews, Old Flowers. Full disclosure, this was quite a late addition to our slate of albums.
Mm-hmm. Because we thought we'd be doing Kanye, but he's delayed it.
He's let us down, but he has bigger things going on in his life.
Like what?
Than helping us out by bringing an album out.
What's he up to?
He's having a very public mental health episode.
War.
Yeah. So I think we'll let Kanye off this one time and we'll come back to that another day. But yeah, Courtney Marie Andrews. This is her fifth record, Old Flowers it's called.
She is from Arizona.
Been there.
Country tinged. Yeah, I wondered if you kind of would have a bit of a... just use it as an excuse to
talk about my trip to America on my honeymoon.
Yeah. Please do ask Joe when you see. He hates talking about it, but he went to somewhere.
The time of my life seems further and further away every moment that I have to sit in my flat.
Yeah. Which is strange because you kind of start. It's like you're becoming. Physically, you look really like you're in Arizona, yeah. Right, in a kind of bar. Yeah, she's from Arizona. She's based in Nashville, Tennessee now. Country folk is kind of probably how you describe what she does. Very heartfelt, very bruised, very emotional. This is her fifth record. It is a breakup record. It's a pretty bleak and unremitting, emotionally bleak anyway, album. Which song should we go for? Not for you, our Twitch
watchers,
people, but
Twitch. Curtain Twitchers.
For the benefit of the pod, which is there a track you go for? I think the title track's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good actually.
Yeah.
Old Flowers.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have a little blast on that, and then we'll talk about.
You can't water old flowers, old flowers, old flowers, old flowers.
Okay.
I've not once managed to get her name right when trying to type it into Spotify. Courtney, Sarah, Marie, and Andrea. Courtney, Marie.
Beyond that, what did you make of it?
Her in the names.
I think it starts well, and then later on there's a couple of tracks that are also really great.
Mm.
But I feel like it's a little bit too one notey for me. I know that,
yeah.
I sense from talking to you on the phone that you've really gotten into the emotional outpouring of the message of this album, but I think it made me switch off a bit.
I see what you're saying, but I feel like the quality of the songs kind of pulls you in, and actually it made me think of Josie Long.
Telling us about
Joanna Newsom, Josie Long, former
guest on the pod.
Ex of the pod.
I like that.
Introduced us to her sort of chosen album was a Joanna Newsom one, and she talked about that kind of real, almost like magnetic. What is the word? I basically, you just kind of can't help but be like transfixed and drawn in. From my point of view, you know, I listened to it earlier today and I was like not really ready for like a really... I mean, I read a great...
What were you doing when you first heard it?
Pretty sure I was doing the washing up, and I'd maybe like just like done some exercise. And so I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm ready for this. But I found myself just completely drawn in. I think the way she writes songs is like really beautiful and tender, and she's got a way with melody that is really not to be underestimated. And it's an album that I'm actually really looking forward to listening to again and again. And I know what you're saying. It's very tight in its focus, and it's about a real life breakup. She kind of, you know, was with some... She's 29, I think, was with someone for like all of her 20s. They split up, and she even said, there's a great interview with Alexandra Pollard, who does a lot of great stuff for The Independent, interviewed her, and she talked about the fact that the songs that would become Old Flowers, she was like, she wrote them and was like, that is like too embarrassing to even... she couldn't believe
that she'd
been that honest and been that blunt about it all. And you get what she means, because it's all very frank and on the nose. But I kind of think that's really compelling, and I kind of was kind of swept along with it.
Yeah, right.
So I know what you mean, but I just thought it was like properly beautiful, and I was kind of, you know, having a bit of a moment. And yeah, I think it's an album that I'm gonna spin quite a lot, and I kind of always like to have one of these in the chamber, as it were, like a kind of sad emotive record that kind of, you know, I can just kind of stick on while I'm doing some work and kind of maybe be blindsided by I'd start crying, but I don't really do that.
Do you not cry?
I'm a tin man. Yeah. I don't. Yeah, famously, man. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know, okay, I didn't know
it'll
that.
All come out in therapy, I'm sure.
Oh.
As I sort of talk about you and all the bottled up stuff. Yeah. But I really liked it. Slightly surprised, and I think you should give it another go.
No, I did. I gave it a few goes, actually, and actually, I kind of got a bit blindsided by her voice.
Mm.
I was like, it made me feel like, you know, that episode of The Simpsons where he falls in love with a country star.
Yeah.
Maybe that says country. More about me than her. And like
your current mind state. I felt
like there was a little bit of like early Father John Misty sound, which is not his sound, it's just like country, essentially.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, I like this.
Yeah.
And but it just didn't hold my attention enough throughout.
Yeah.
Like when Old Flowers came on, that noticeably perked me up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just a note, side note on country. My wife listens to country, like kind of new country, Sturgill Simpson, Margot Price. And I've always found it quite difficult to get into them. I kind of listen to them and then I'm like, whoa, too country. But this for me is like my perfect amount of countryness. Love it. I am going to go in coming hot with a big old 8.
8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful. Go on.
Nice. I'm sticking on my 6.
Okay, brilliant. Should we do the last one?
Let's do the last one. Leanne Lahavas.
Yes, eponymous third record.
Couldn't think of anything to call it.
I do always think it's just quite interesting when people have to write about an album and it's literally the person's full name, and it just can get quite confusing. But that's a sort of writer's gripe. Which track should we play before we dive right into this album that Joe, spoiler alert, loves? He doesn't love it. which track should we do? Which track do you find?
The first one. Actually. Yeah,
bittersweet.
Bittersweet.
Yeah, I was going to say bittersweet. Oh, bittersweet summer rain, I'm born again. All my broken pieces. So that's bittersweet, and I imagine your judgment for Leanne will also be bittersweet.
No, do you know what? I've heard her do more interesting stuff. And again, this is what I was saying, what I was alluding to in the Jarvis debate.
Yeah.
I think this is really boring, like musically. I think it's quite boring. Like, again, I said this about the last record as well, a little bit too one notey for me, isn't it? Like, and I don't know, I think at least with the Courtney, Mary Andrews album.
What is going on?
I'm not getting those three names.
Why can't you remember her name?
With the Courtney, Mary Andrews album.
They're like repelling each other like magnets.
Yeah, they really are. They just don't
Louise Monica?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Courtney Marie Andrews.
They're sort of... I think the way that she writes is a bit more interesting than some of the sort of simile and metaphor game of Leanne Havis. It seems like you know what the next rhyme's going to be.
Right, yeah,
And it just seems slightly formulaic. Having said that, obviously, she has a very, very beautiful, unique voice. But I just don't feel like the music or the writing does it enough justice.
Hate to agree with Joe, famously. I've got T-shirts printed, but I do kind of know what you mean. It is interesting, the comparison, that purely accidental, because this is a breakup album, by all accounts as well. It's her third record. Again, a very, a really well-received album by all accounts. But, yeah, Bittersweet, which I didn't realise when I first heard it, has got an Isaac Hayes cover, Isaac Hayes sample as part of it. And a lot of the talk prior to this album's release was about the kind of more pronounced R&B and soul influences maybe on this record, which have always been there, but kind of coming out a little bit more, a little bit of hip hop. But I do know what you mean. I kind of feel like I want to like this album more than I actually do. Every time I listen to it and put it on, there's kind of a middle section that does have a slight dreariness to
it. Oh, God, it's like, I feel like I'm just in like a wine bar.
There is a little bit of that going on.
It's background music for me.
Yeah, but I mean, she's... And I feel like a lot of the things I've read about this album have been... basically, she's like queen of every festival you've been to for like the last 5 years. Like, her live show famously was like a kind of real... Prince was a real champion of her, and they were quite close before he passed. And she's like amazing guitarist, unbelievable voice, like got all the kind of ingredients of like an incredible artist. And I think maybe that would come out a little bit more in her live shows. And this was an attempt to kind of bring that energy to her albums. And like, again, I listened to it, Bittersweet comes on, and I'm like, oh yeah, come on. And
yeah, yeah.
I know exactly what you mean. It's kind of just like there's not, there is something a little bit watery and indistinct about it, or just doesn't really grab the attention. And maybe part of it is that she's kind of trying to do quite a few things and ends up just kind of sounding, just pulled in loads of different directions and not really sounding I know what you mean. I feel like she is such a talented musician, and I do feel like sometimes she's still kind of finding what is the voice, what is the thing that I want to say.
The thing that irritates me about that is that, you know, seems to get given a lot of chances to do that, whereas other people maybe don't get let off.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
not being able to find these things.
Yeah, but I mean, she, you know, as we've said, she is really talented. You know, previous albums kind of showed that in flashes. But I know what you mean. There is kind of the real whiff of kind of big label backing, and she's kind of, she's a telegenic, photogenic kind of performer. She's a likeable, charming, charismatic performer as well. There's a Radiohead cover on this album, which kind of is right in the heartland of, you know, people that like Leanne LaHavas, but also like, you know, indie, like, you
dads who live in their garage.
Yeah, exactly. Like, full record store day.
You're cool. Only like 3 years in a garage away from joining that.
Yeah,
club.
Mate. Yeah. Can't wait. I don't know.
as I'm speaking, I feel like maybe I'm being harder on it than, because I really like her as an artist, but I feel like this album in a lot of quarters is being hailed as, ah, she's cracked it finally.
I don't agree. Unless you're trying to crack Radio 2.
Beyond Bittersweet and a few other flashes, I don't really think that's right. I still think, yeah, it's not quite kind of sparking. Kind of preferred a lot of her earlier stuff.
Me too.
Okay. I would like to caveat that by like being like, I'd like to give it a little bit more time, a few more listens and things like that. But yeah, how? Go on then.
Five for me.
I think I'm gonna have to go six again.
Okay.
60-60. And that's it.
A lot of sixes knocking around this week.
Yeah, mate, it's a six sort of week. But interesting sixes, I think. Just kind of like, yeah.
I mean, Jarvis is certainly interesting.
Yeah. So, shall we talk about the Mercury Prize?
Yeah, so...
the Rumbelows.
Some people that are quite dear to my heart on this list.
Yeah, so... just briefly, they were announced this week.
Have you seen it?
Itself.
Have you seen the actual? I know you have. You've just had a trophy delivered.
Oh yeah,
you won. But yeah, have you seen what the Mercury looks like?
It's got like a real spike thing on it, hasn't it?
There's spikes on it. It's horrible. Yeah. I don't want that in my house.
Looks a bit like a coronavirus. So announced this week. The award ceremony, I presume, will be in the autumn time, as it normally is. Distance or otherwise, and yeah, I mean, as you say, it's like it kind of reads like a list of a lot of the albums that we've loved over the past, like really loved over the past 12 months. Laura Marlin,
yeah,
sports team.
Porridge Radio, who I've had on my now defunct radio show,
officially defunct.
No, I don't know.
Kano, I thought we had an exclusive then.
No, really, yeah, I don't think so.
Kano, Stormzy, Dua Lipa, big one that Joe loves. Charlie XCX, Moses Boyd, that album, absolutely
I've not heard that
album. It's so good. And he's from round this way, Moses, born in Catford, I think. Yeah. So he's got to be good. Georgia, Anna Meredith, who I don't know is a new one on me. But yeah, I think the thing to dig into here was that there was a bit of controversy even before it was announced. Nadine Shah, again, yeah. Big favourite on this podcast.
God, what an album.
Tweeted about the fact, I think... there was early word that the 1975 were going to be on this list.
God, no.
Which Joe would have been really happy about. But that didn't happen in the end. But the wider point was that the list was too full of artists that didn't really need the spotlight that the Mercury is designed to kind of... offer. Yeah. And so, you know... You're talking like mega selling artists like Stormzy,
David Bowie.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I guess it kind of and linked to that. A lot of the chatter I've seen around it is like Dua Lipa, Charlie XCX. Are these the people that need kind of Mercury to? Yeah, and I guess that gets into a bigger debate of what the Mercury is for or what it should do. I feel like there's always in recent years, you know, like Lily Allen was on the list last year. There's always a kind of.
But is it?
They've been trying to skew more pop. They've been trying to kind of diversify the list and things like that. And I guess these all feel like quite acclaimed, quite big albums. I think it's like Laura Marlin's like fifth or sixth one, or maybe it's her fourth one. But yeah.
But do you not think sometimes they put a big name on it to get the Mercury some press almost?
Yeah, I mean, having...
Because the layperson doesn't really know about the
Mercury. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's all about the narrative, really, isn't it? Like,
Elbow, of course, won the Mercury, and that was kind of their, you know, they were kind of these journeyman rockers that hadn't really done much, but people really rated, and that was kind of their big coming out moment, and that became a fixed narrative. Yeah, as you say, the kind of old elder statesman rock star or elder stateswoman rock star has a really, you know, late period spark of creativity that gets the Mercury. Like, there's quite a lot, the, you know, the grime album that cuts through, the, you know, the jazz kind of album, the dance record or whatever. There's all these kind of fixed ways into it. To me, it's just like, it's a really interesting, surprising list in some ways. That Charlie XCX album was an album recorded in lockdown. I wouldn't really expect that to be on there. I think it's quite a sort of, you know, I can't really think of too many records that a lot of people are saying Jay Huss should have been on there. I've not listened to that album nearly enough, but it's a very good album. Who do you reckon? Who do you want and who do you reckon?
I think it'd be Laura Marling.
Do you think?
Yeah.
That's a very good album. And has she won it yet, or has she just been a Mercury bridesmaid?
I don't know.
I don't think she
has. I don't think she has won it. But I obviously would like Sports Team. Porridge Radio as well.
Yeah, that's, I need to album. Listen to Porridge Radio a bit more. I gave it a little cursory go, and then I just kind of was like, I'm not in the mood for that.
But I'll listen to the Catford Boy.
Yeah, Moses Boyd. From my point of view, I think I'd really love Moses Boyd to get it, actually. I think he's probably in with a good shout. I don't know if he's like noisy enough. Moses Boyd, and so I'd like him to win it. And I wonder if Sports Team might do it.
They might. I saw them tweet something about really chuffed to be nominated. Now looking forward to the backlash of like ale-riddled dads in garages.
My lot. Yeah,
your lot. Just getting saying, furious. Why are they on the list?
Actually, can I change that? I'd like Moses Boyd to get it. I wonder if Michael Kiwanuka gets it. Exciting times.
Are you gonna pick? So we should keep a book on this.
Yeah, we should.
Out of me and you.
Yeah, okay. I think Kiwanuka will get it.
I've gone for Marlin, so.
Okay.
There we go. We'll remember that.
Beautiful.
Like last time, we didn't remember.
Yeah. We'll just forget it.
Next episode of the podcast, very exciting. Unless he calls out.
Yeah. Announce it now.
Yeah, just say.
Don't jinx it, mate.
No, it'll be fine. We've got Rob Beckett talking about the first Arctic Monkeys record.
Oh, is that the one? Oh, mate.
So that's going to be good, isn't it?
He said,
I don't really know anything about music. So we've got Rob Beckett on the next episode, so stay tuned for that. If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please like, rate and subscribe. Don't forget to say hello to us on social media. And thanks for listening. This has been JJ's Album Club.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.